This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. The race for Oscar nominations is picking up speed, and among the movies under consideration are stories of reincarnation and New Age mysticism. Hollywood is usually criticized for its broad use of sex, violence, and anything that might appeal to teenagers, but movies are taking the audience in an entirely different direction, towards spiritual experience. It's too early to say that the studios have been converted, but David Darcy reports that religion is all over the big screen.
The film Chocolat is a fable set in France, in English, about a provincial town transformed by a young woman who opens a chocolate shop.
Would you like some cake?
Oh. I'm not supposed to.
Don't worry so much about not supposed to. Live a little.
The young woman hands out chocolate aphrodisiacs made from ancient Mayan recipes, gives away chocolate to children during Lent, and brings pleasure to the townspeople who've been oppressed by their mayor and their church. The film's director, Lasse Hallström, didn't know that the Catholic Church condemned chocolate as an aphrodisiac in the 17th century, just as the town mayor does in his movie.
The fact that he uses church and religion in his fight doesn't really suggest that the movie wants to criticize religion and church.
Chocolat is just one film in what's been a spiritual season. John Travolta produced the screen adaptation of Battleship Earth, a novel by the Church of Scientology's founder, L. Ron Hubbard. One of the year's biggest films, Gladiator, began and ended with scenes of reincarnation in the Elysian Fields. In The Legend of Bagger Vance, a black caddy played by Will Smith appears from nowhere to impart wisdom and the perfect swing to white golfer Matt Damon.
The trick is to find your swing.
What did you say?
Well, you lost your swing. We got to go find it.
Now, somewhere in the harmony of all it is, all it was, all it will be.
In The Family Man, a film inspired by It's a Wonderful Life, a black stranger sends investment banker Nicolas Cage back to the suburban life that he would have had with a girl he didn't marry.
Everybody needs something.
Yeah? Well, what do you need, Jack?
Me.
You just said everybody needs something.
I got everything I need.
Wow. It must be great being you.
I'm not saying that you'd be able to do it without some hard work, some honest hard work, and possibly some medicine.
You know, I'm going to really enjoy this. You just remember that you did this, Jack, okay? You brought this on yourself. Merry Christmas.
In most of these films, encounters with the supernatural bring either knowledge, fulfillment, or self-improvement, or a world that makes sense. James Twitchell is a professor at the University of Florida who writes about culture and advertising.
The two great storytelling institutions of the modern world are religion and consumption. And that they share many similarities goes without saying. The religious experience, of course, says you deserve a break tomorrow, and the consumer experience says you deserve a break today. Very often, at the center of both these experiences is a magical event, an event which, if you were rational, you would quickly say, no sale. But because these stories don't depend on reason, but on magical thinking, cha-ching, they work.
Neither the youth audience these new films target nor the filmmakers themselves seem to know much about religious history or practice, or even about Hollywood's epic approach to the Bible. The days are long gone when director Mervyn LeRoy could take his film Quo Vadis to Rome to have it blessed at a photo op by Pope Pius XII. Today's filmmakers are trying to give spirituality to today's icons, hence Keanu Reeves as a cyber messiah in The Matrix, and Don Cheadle as a fast-talking angel in The Family Man, and Will Smith as the gentle Bagger Vance. Gene Phillips, a Jesuit priest who teaches film history at Loyola University in Chicago, says the message tends to be therapy rather than faith or spiritual enlightenment.
It's the brotherhood of man without the fatherhood of God. The difference seems to me that there isn't much in the way of spiritual regeneration.
There isn't much doctrinal accuracy either, Phillips says. Chocolat, set in Lent, gets a Christmas release, And Stigmata is the name of a horror movie.
Here you had a film where this girl was imprinted with Christ's wounds, which is supposed to be a spiritual grace, and the movie makers got that confused with diabolical possession and kind of made it into a sort of exorcist-type thing. And that's simply bad theology. Not that a movie has to be theological, but, you know, if you're going to take up something like the Stigmata, the least you can do is get it right.
Film critics haven't noticed those slips, but they have attacked the racial stereotype of the noble savage saving the lost white man in Bagger Vance. Michael Barson is a pop culture historian.
You know, as much as a film like The Matrix can make you feel like you're part of the next wave, something like this really makes you feel, you know, embarrassed that somehow this was considered to still be a part of good storytelling and a part of contemporary entertainment.
Bagger Vance made it onto some critics' 10 worst lists, but it's also brought in more than $40 million at the box office. The Family Man earned that in 3 weeks. The black angels and oracles in those films don't bother essayist Stanley Crouch.
What we're seeing is something that doesn't particularly bother me because it's, to me, a vast improvement over many of the pop images of black people that we get in, say, gangster rapper that you see on MTV, VH1, or BET.
Crouch also welcomes the religious messages in films like Bagger Vance, The Family Man, and in The Green Mile, in which a huge black man sacrifices himself by literally ingesting the evil of the world.
I think that these movies that have these spiritual themes and these things that speak across the line between that separates life and death, I think all of these things are an attempt to find this thing that allows us to get to another plane. I mean, that's why you got Whoopi Goldberg as the medium in Ghost, or you've got the sky in The Green Mile. I mean, all of these things are attempts, it seems to me, to find either on a high level or even on a comedic level some point at which we can get to the other side of the things that separate us.
No one seems to agree on how to get to that other side, but Gene Phillips believes that audiences will be looking for films to take them there, or at least to make them feel better.
It's a yearning, I think, for some substantial values to live by and to guide their lives. But there's no doubt that across the board, whether in the old films we talked about or the more recent ones, people do look for inspiration, they look for comfort, absolutely.
There may be limits to the appeal of screen salvation. Bagger Vance has yet to recoup its costs. After his $75 million Battlefield Earth flop, Scientologist John Travolta has put plans for a sequel on hold. For NPR News, I'm David Darcy in New York.